We are dealing with the guttiest of issues. If we get our heads screwed on straight in these matters, we'll be able to cope with life in many different applications. The ultimate issue, always, is the issue of spirit. As far as the world is concerned, we haven't got a lot of hope out there. What our ultimate end will be, I don't know. But this much I have to say to you. Don't put your weight on anything but the Spirit of Christ within you. Whatever the roller coaster you're on, whatever the stormy seas your craft is plying through today, or being battered by, what happens to you as far as the human aspect is concerned is always going to be questionable. What happens to you in the spirit is always going to be stable. Why? Because Christ is in charge of your spirit. Once again, let me say to you, the very fact that you seek out a place to think about Christ, a place to worship, the very fact that you seek this out shows the Spirit of Christ is working in you. I don't care what you have been into this last week. I don't follow people around. I don't know what your lot is this morning or what you did last night. One thing I know, you would not be sitting in this place this morning if there were not something God had to do with in you, in your spirit. I have no way to judge the spiritual level of people. But I can judge this irrevocably, unequivocally, and irrepressibly. You would not be here this morning if there were not something going on there that the Spirit of Christ had to do with. And that's your security. Not some Bible verse I can hang on the wall for you, because you don't always believe those. You're saying, God, why did you forsake me? You're gone. Goodbye. So all the words in the world are not going to change that skepticism. But the one thing that may help you is, if he were not working with you, you wouldn't care. Even your question to God that says, why did you forsake me, is its own best evidence that he has not forsaken you. Because nobody ever says, Mickey Mouse, why did you forsake me? Nobody ever says, I put my weight on Alice in Wonderland and she's gone. See? There's no credence whatsoever to those fairy tales and myths. But the very fact that your brain keeps touching base with God is the best evidence that he is somewhere, some way, working with you. And that, to me, is the greatest thing in this world, given the insecurity of the United States. Now, we're not insecure because Russia's going to come over here and bomb us. Don't worry about that. I'm not trying to give you false hope. I'm just looking at the fact. Somebody might start a skirmish like they did in the Balkans in World War I. Which was an accident. The calculated skirmish of World War II probably would never be repeated. That was a calculated thing on the part of Hitler and a abdicating of power on the part of Neville Chamberlain and England and so forth, where they just said, we'll turn our head and let you take the Sudetenland and Austria and so forth if you'll leave the rest of the world alone. Well, they didn't leave the rest of the world alone. That was a calculated war. You can also be relatively at peace about the fact that we're not going to start Armageddon over there. Third World War was not started by Israel in Beirut. It's not going to go beyond that. That does not mean that life is secure for any of us anywhere, except in the spirit. Since Christ has charge of your spirits, and Christ is now in your spirits, life and death have no problem, basically. That is, life and death is a matter of timing. The important thing is the butterfly in the cocoon, if you will. This world is like a cocoon. It's confining, it's frustrating, restricting. You're getting cabin fever in the cocoon. But the end of it all is the butterfly. The butterfly in the sense of the real person. The butterfly, which is the fulfillment of you as spirits, that is only going to be something of glory to you and not anything else. You do not need to fear death. Now, of course, that's what the passage is all about this morning. You think I've been taking off on a tangent and I've left the scripture behind. No, I haven't. Because he says, as it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Where death is your victory, where grave is your sting or goad. I'll explain that to you. The goad of death is sin. I'll have to talk to you about that. The power of sin is the law. But thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he doesn't say you have victory if you've been a good boy or a good girl. It doesn't say you have victory if you're very religious. It doesn't say you have victory if you're one of the upper 400 of religious VIPs. It doesn't say that. It's a general statement that in Christ, death has been swallowed up in victory. So death is no longer something you have to fear. We always are uneasy about the unknown, yes. We fear the unknown, but there's enough in the scripture, and as a matter of fact, there is enough current testimony, a lot of current testimony, about people who have been clinically dead and come back to life again, been restored, recovered. Now, I don't know how much stock you can put in those testimonies. It may have been hallucinatory, dreams, in a state of near death. And of course, one thing that we have today that we didn't have in days past, you do have a lot of people coming back from what might be called a clinical death. You didn't have that before. Our modern technology has allowed us to recover lots of people that would have been out under the old system. You have wonderful teams in hospitals now. The moment the vitals questionable, they rush the team in there and they can pull people back to life again. Now, how far gone they are, only God knows. But there is such abundant testimony that at least it's not an unpleasant experience. And so many people have said, I will never fear death again, who've been in that position. So you have that testimony. And then you have the Word of God, which gives a strong testimony. You have, in addition to that, the state of victory of Christian people who are near death, who know they're going to die. Many times people have a sentence of death. That is, people who have said, well, to whom it has been said, well, it's just a matter of time. Your condition is terminal. We can do no more for you. Many times that very condition, when the shock of it is first passed, promotes a kind of inner resource of peace and strength. You must realize that. If you have people you know, or you have relatives or friends or whatever that have been told they have terminal cancer or whatever, look for that to happen. The first shock will be difficult. But so commonly, among Christians at least, there is a settling down, a sort of a peace about things that says, well, it's all right. I've been through that, the degree, and I know something what I'm talking about. There comes that peace when you don't know whether you're going to wake up the next morning or not. and the doctor tells you you don't know whether you're going to make it or not, and you can just be completely at peace inside. Now that is a kind of strength that comes from Christ himself, from the Spirit. So often in crises, a spirit takes over within us that holds us steadfast. Many times we mistakenly try to put ourselves in someone else's place and say, how would I feel if I were told that? Someone said to me, you might die or whatever. How would I feel? That's the question we ask. Or what would I do if I, you know, lost all my money or went bankrupt or lost a family or friend or something? How would I feel? Don't even think about it, because you don't know. God does not give you the grace to handle those things now. He gives you the grace to handle it when it comes. I've always talked to you about the absolute idiocy, if I can use that expression, or I will use it whether I can or not, the absolute idiocy of people who talk about what would you do if you had to be martyred, face the stake. That is just dumb to talk like that. The Lord is not going to give you the grace to sit down and think about what are you going to do. He'll give you the grace when it happens. The same is true with any kind of crisis you can name. I can tell you what a peace settles down over you in the midst of crisis. That has to be the Spirit of Christ. A case in point from my own personal files, when we had that accident on the freeway up there, and the car was caving in around us. We were hit by a semi, and the car was caving in around us. You could see the glass breaking up and everything. And I felt perfectly at peace. I just sat there and watched the action, and I didn't feel any uneasiness about it. I just felt just something settled down over me that didn't, it was all right. I was sure that whatever happened, it wasn't going to be good. It was not going to be a cushion deal, but it turned out to be all right. I'm just saying to you from my personal experience, I'm not just giving you a lot of ivory tower stuff here. I'm telling you what a personal experience. We bounced off a couple of cars and rammed into the center divider, and the car got pretty well wiped out. For me to ask you, how would you feel if you were in that position? Well, the Lord would take care of you too. I don't mean he would keep you from getting hurt. People have gotten hurt. I've gotten hurt in some things. Something inside of you holds you together. Now, one of the great problems with pain is, or sorrow, or frustration, or whatever. The problem is, how long is it going to last? If you knew that the pain would be over in an hour, you could handle that. Or a day, you could handle that. It's the thought that maybe that pain is going to go on day after day, and how do we know when it's going to end? It's that eternal future that we're looking at. And you're in rough circumstances now, and you think, well, it's going to be like this forever. I'm just going to always be in this kind of problem and so forth. You don't know. Maybe tomorrow it'll be over. But the point you do know is this. If you don't try to project the future of it and take it as it is today, you can handle it today. And tomorrow it may be all different. You may become heir to a $1 million fortune, and all your economic problems will be wiped out. But if you start projecting the future, what's going to happen? You're always going to be in trouble. Because remember, God does not give you the grace now to think about the future. Same thing is true with death. You may fear death. I'm saying to you, until death actually does come before you, you're not going to have the grace to think about it. How you would react. When it does come before you, you're going to be all right. You're going to have reserves of strength you don't even understand. I've been in aircraft when things look pretty bleak. If the thing goes, it goes, and you don't really worry about it. But I would not say to you, how would you feel if you were in an airplane that was the weather was turbulent and it looked like you might go down, how would you feel? See, I wouldn't even ask that. It's a dumb question. I'm saying to you that the greatest victory in the universe is the victory of Christ over death. And that victory is not meted out, measured out in teaspoons to the very, very good, or to the very, very religious. That victory was won by Christ in his own sacrifice, and he has made it available to all of us. A lot of things we do that we get into trouble for. A lot of things that go against us in this life. A lot of problems we bring on ourselves. These are all matters of the flesh. They have their price to pay. They have their unpleasantness. But if you can recognize the stability, the continuity, the viability of the Spirit, that is you. The real you is the Spirit behind this blob of flesh. That, of course, is what gives you hope. Whatever your blob of flesh may be or look like this morning, that's not the real you. They don't rush out and eat a banana split. I'm not telling you don't pay any attention to the bulge there. But I am telling you that whatever your present lot may be, it's only the cocoon, the outer shell, which does pass away. And the real you, the beautiful, gorgeous, glorious you, it's inside, it's in your spirit. So I'm not really saying don't take care of yourself. I'm not saying it's a matter of indifference what you do in this world. I'm merely saying that the stable, ongoing reality of life is your spirit inside. The thing you focus on is not the material realm, but the spirit. Don't neglect the material world. You've got to live in it. You've got to make a living. You've got to take care of your affairs and problems. But put your weight on the real you, which is glorious. It's your spirit. It is beautiful, svelte, all the rest of it. Whatever it is you want to be. In your spirit, that's what you are that, in your spirit. I shouldn't say whatever you want to be. I should say the glorious or the most important thing about humanity is the spirit. So go with that. Don't worry about the rest of it. Let the rest take care of itself. Take it a day at a time. Don't get anxious about things. And you'll be able to make it through this world in a fair degree of civility. To corroborate what I've said, because you may say, oh, well, this fellow's off on a trip somewhere, Paul gives us tremendous encouragement in this respect. He says in verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up on our behalf, how shall he not also with him give us freely all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifieth. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, rather who has risen, and who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Affliction, or pressures, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That is, we stare death in the face all the time in this life. But in all these things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things standing, nor things about to be, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, what I've been saying to you is not just my thought. It is the Word of God in great essence. But things of your natural life may get battered around a little bit. But the spirit is stable and strong. And you know Christ is in your spirit because this minute, here, today, you care about that. Or you wouldn't be here. And you could not care about that if the Spirit of God were not at work with you. Because the natural mind does not reach after the things of the Spirit. Well, I think we better stop here. Father, we ask you to take these words now that we've shared together and use them for whatever purpose you have in mind, and give us peace and strength as we contemplate these matters. In Christ's name, amen.